Good morning and welcome to Flat Springs Baptist Church. If you're a visitor, we're so glad that you're here this morning. And we do have a card at the back of your pew. We would love if you would fill that out so that we would like to make contact with you later, but welcome. And I know you're looking and you said, that's not Matt. And that's true, I'm not Matt. We are going to have some changes this morning a little bit. Those of you aware that our pastor did have a little episode yesterday, and I'll give you a brief report that was passed along in a business meeting this morning, but he's doing much better. A lot of the tests that they've run that could have been bad have turned out to be very good. So hopefully this afternoon he'll be released and can be back among us. That's our wish right now. So we want to remember him and his family as they're going through this trying time. I told him yesterday, this is not right. We're the ones that should be in the bed. You visiting us in the hospital, not us visiting you. And he was very emotional. And anyway, he's doing better. We need to be thankful for that. If you would, look at your bulletins. We're a busy church. We got a lot going on. I'm not going to read any of the announcements. You can read better than I. And if there's any that pertain to you, please take note of that. We do have some training classes that you'll see noted. And the sign-up sheets for them are in the breezeway, I call it. And be sure to look at that and sign up and participate as you can and will. Does anyone else have any announcements that they need to make at this time? If not, would you join me in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this opportunity, this Lord's Day, that we as a people can come and to worship without interference from any power other than our own self, that sometimes we don't do what You would have us to do. Be with the ones that have not here this morning, whether it be sickness, be a comforter and healer with them. And through all this worship hour, open our minds, open our hearts, that we would receive the blessing that You have for us today. These things we ask in Thy holy name. We'll now have a few moments of quietness as we prepare our hearts for worship.
Good morning. Let's all turn to page 238. This composer, or actually the hymn writer, wrote this song, Breathe on Me, and then he wrote the benediction response, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. He must have had a real good relationship with the Holy Spirit, and feeling that he would breathe his spirit, or God would breathe his spirit into him. These are the only two songs we know of that he wrote, and they are very important in our worship service. Page 238, first, second, and last verses. Let's all stand.
This morning we have come to an exciting and humbling time. Grace Walker and Eliza Phillips are being presented this morning as candidates for baptism. They're doing so to follow Jesus' teachings and example. So let's begin this time this morning looking at two pieces of Scripture chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And then in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. I would like to ask Grace to join me at this time. This is Grace Walker. She comes this morning to fulfill her commitment and belief in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, wanting to publicly profess Him as her Lord and Savior. Grace, do you believe in Jesus, His life and death and resurrection, and want to profess Him as your Lord and Savior this morning? For now I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This time to ask Eliza to join me. This is Eliza Phillips. She too comes this morning to profess her belief in Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. This morning, I baptize Eliza, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Let us pray. God, thank you for this wonderful time, a celebration that Eliza Phillips and Grace Walker have come before you, professing to the world and your church that they believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. Guide them in their life ahead, showing them how to rely on you and your Son in all that they do, carrying your name across the world. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
We've come to the part of the service that we'll want to remember our concerns, people in our membership that need prayer. Before we do, I'd like to publicly thank Matt this morning for so eagerly and adjusting his schedule to help us out here this morning. And I think that speaks a lot for him, and we appreciate that tremendously. It's good to be able to have someone that you can just go to and say, please, and it's taken care of. So thank you, Matt. Please look at your bulletin and you'll see a list of prayer concerns that we have. Does anyone have any others that need to be added to this list at this time? Would you please let us know? Names that I have is this week, Grace Walker will have her tonsils removed. We want to be in prayer for her and her family These seems like small things, but to a child is major. And for a parent that's having to watch their child, is major. So we want to remember them. Only other name that I would like to add would be Joy Scott. Some of you may remember her, that they were members here for several years, but she found out Thursday that she does have breast cancer. So she'll be undergoing treatment for that. Are there any others before we pray? If not, please join me in prayer. Our Father, We come to thee with prayers or petition today. We know that you answer prayers because we see it every day. We've seen it this week, and we know that we'll see it in the future. Ask for you to be with the ones that are listed here, ones that are not listed that we don't know about, that only you know. Be a companion and healer to them and their families as they go through these trying times. These things we ask in thy dear name. Amen.
You want to follow the offertory or the jewels? Okay.
Page 242. Pentecostal power, let's all stand.
Dear Lord, thank you for this beautiful day to come to your house to worship. We thank you for each and every one who's here today, and we are thankful for the word that we hear in your house. Lord, we ask that we take something from this service today with us in the week to follow, that others may see us through you. Lord, we ask that you take these offerings and that you bless them and that they be used to further your kingdom here on earth. Amen.
I'd like to ask all the children to come down at this time. We'll have our children's sermon at this point. We'll make sure to give plenty of time for everyone to make their way. Have plenty of room up here. So good to see all of you this morning.
Great.
Perfect. You can always swing around over here and sit right here or sit on the ground. Either way. Yeah, you can come over here. You can sit there. Well, good morning. It's so good to see all of you here. I know I asked yesterday. I know a lot of you were here. Those of you who were here yesterday, did you enjoy the sled day? Yeah? I had a great time. That was wonderful to see. I know. It was good to have just a little break after a full week of school after your Christmas break, right? Most of you have been in school a full week last week after Christmas break. So I thought this morning what we would do, we'd have a little quiz. I know you're probably wondering, what in the world? We're having a quiz on Sunday mornings. I don't like tests, especially at church, right? Well, I think these are easy questions. Let's see if you can get them. I'm going to hold them up for you so you can read them as well, okay? The first one's easy. How many of each animal did Moses take on the ark with him? Anybody tell me? Yeah. Two. Everybody says two? Read it careful again. How many of each animal did Moses build the ark? No? Noah built the ark, right? Okay, that was a trick question. Sorry about that. All right, what about this? Are automobiles mentioned in the Bible? Are cars mentioned in the Bible? What about Acts 2:1? It says, when the day of Pentecost was come, what came, they were all in one accord. No? Okay, we'll try again. All right. Third question.
Does the Bible tell you that you can't play football?
No.
No? Can't play football. Well, maybe, but Leviticus 11:7-8 says that the pigs are unclean and you're not supposed to touch one of them alive or dead. And remember, sometimes footballs are called pigskins. All right, I know those were trick questions. I know those were not fair. But the next question isn't a trick question, I promise. Simple. Can somebody tell me what 1 plus 1 is?
2.
Now, what if I told you 1 plus 1 can also equal 3? Would you believe me?
No.
Well, let's look in Matthew. All right. I know I tricked you, so you're not sure what to believe now. Well, we'll try and gain your trust back in Matthew chapter 18. It's just one verse, all right? So I want to make sure you listen carefully. Matthew 18, verse 20. This is Jesus talking. And he says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them." And so what I want us to remember this morning is when two or more are gathered in Jesus' name, Jesus is with you. Now, I can't count but so high, but I know there's more than two people in here, right? So Jesus is definitely with us this morning. So remember, when you gather in Jesus' name, he's always with you when two or more are together. All right? Let's pray about that this morning. God, we are so thankful that you are among us. When we call upon your name and we know two or three or more are gathered, you are with us. God, we know you are here right now, and we want you to guide us and help us to learn how to continue to worship you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Awesome. All right, you can go back to your seat now, and I'll see you next week, okay? It's good to see you.
The Holy Spirit came.
Amen. What a powerful message this morning, Revive the Church. How great it is to come together to worship. Excited to continue to do that as we open up God's Word this morning. We've gathered together this morning and we've participated in singing hymns and praises to God, and we've become aware of needs that need prayer. And now we're going to open up God's Word and see how He's going to reveal Himself to us this morning through that. This morning, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So, and the bulletin is going to be a little bit different, and I will kind of verbalize the outline for you as we go. But we'll begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As you're turning there, I just want to continue to extend the hymn that was just sung to us and pray that God continues to stir in us and revive in us His Spirit this morning. What a powerful message. First Corinthians chapter 12. We'll begin with verse 12. If you're able, would you stand in a way of honoring the reading of God's Word? First Corinthians 12, we'll begin with verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Let's pray this morning. God, we come before You united as one. As the body of Christ, we're before You now asking for Your Word to speak to us, revive in us a vision, a focus, a purpose today and this week ahead, to live according to Your will, loving You and loving other people as You do. For it's in Your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I believe this passage of Scripture reminds us the way in which God works through us and calls us to live as one people, His church, us. Paul is focusing on what it means to be the church, and he describes the church, that is us, in a very interesting way, a way I'm sure we're all very familiar with. So let us first remember that the church, you and me, we have one mission, to love God and to love other people. Jesus makes that very clear through His teachings, through His life, that that is our mission. So let me say it again. Our mission as the church is to love God and love other people. Now, like Paul said, the purpose of the church is vast. There are many members, but one body. And like we just said, our purpose is to love God and love other people. But that takes a lot of time, discernment, and energy. There's a lot of detail that goes into what Paul is saying here. Jesus Christ gave his perfect example of how we're supposed to love God and how we're supposed to love other people. Jesus placed his followers in line to carry on his message, and he did so by understanding the significance of their gifts and their talents and how each person would be able to add to his kingdom. I think for us to better grasp this, we can have a modern example of what Paul's metaphor is driving at. We know that our bodies are intricately made, and we know that each part is extremely valuable and necessary for it to function as it's intended. And I'm sure we've all heard the saying, the sum of the parts is greater than the whole. I'm not really sure how you go about dissecting that, so let's have a more modern approach of what Paul is saying here. As most of us know, yesterday was our chill-out day, our sled day here at Flat Springs. When the Children's Committee and myself were first discussing this as a possibility, we were very excited for it to come into fruition. So we began planning, Children's Committee, Youth Committee, all leaders and parents working together. And as we planned, we quickly realized it's going to take many, many people for it to run smoothly. And considering the amazing families that we have here at Flat Springs, I knew that would happen, and it did full well. So first of all, I would definitely like to thank everyone who came together and made the day what it was. And I do want to take a moment especially to recognize everyone who helped Gary during that time as well. As we're speaking about how the body of Christ comes together, working for one purpose, isn't it a blessing to see how people work together, especially like Ronnie Page and Haley Smith, being at the right place at the right time, and for that matter, everyone who came together when a need was risen before them. So we can see how God brings his people together to work together, using their gifts and their talents in a miraculous way. Without you all making the day what it was, yesterday simply would not have happened. One person could not have done that. So we can see how all the different parts of the body of Christ, us, came together, working together. Now back to our initial understanding of the church. Simple understanding, but I think it's needed for us to set that foundation to be able to go further with it. So the basic understanding first, purpose of the church, is to love God, to love other people. That can be set in stone. Now to dissect how we live with that purpose in mind as a church day in and day out, we'll need to go a step further after our initial understanding. So I want to give you this further detailed explanation of what I believe the church's mission is and what Paul is trying to get at in 1 Corinthians 12. Our mission as a church is to connect the unconnected to Christ and grow together with him. Let me repeat that again. Our mission as a church, if we are loving God and loving other people, this becomes very clear. Our mission as a church is to connect the unconnected to Christ and grow together with him. That really starts to form the body of Christ as it's intended, as Paul is speaking of here. The reason I want to make sure we are very clear on the purpose of the church is to make sure we are aware of our place, specifically within the church, and the need for us to be actively involved in the church, many parts making up one body. Because only then can we live into the potential that God places before us as his church. So back to that more detailed understanding of what the church is. Taking Paul's understanding of many parts equaling the body of Christ. To connect the unconnected to Christ and to grow together with him. I have four specific ways that I think this takes place and that I want us to investigate briefly. First of all, we must stay devoted to God. First and foremost, we have to stay devoted to God. We have to be fully devoted so we can understand that he has created us for a purpose and lives within us. And only when we stay devoted to God can we understand what our God-given purpose is. And secondly, which comes right off of being devoted to God, we stay devoted to one another. That's the second point. After we are staying devoted to God, we see the need to be devoted to one another, being mindful of the common mission, the one mission we have together as the church. That's why we meet together, to share the journey together. That's why the youth and I this year have our theme for 2012-13 as Share the Journey. How are we doing that together? Many parts equaling the whole. And third, we have to live out our life devoted to God. Live out our life devoted to God. By following Christ, we are the church outside these walls, and we have to live out our devotion to God and others outside in the world, no matter what comes our way. Then we can really start seeing how we are pieced together and connected together eternally as the body of Christ. And that leads me to my fourth point. After we've understood that we must be devoted to God, devoted to one another, and living out our devotion to others, we have to pass it along. We have to consciously make the effort to let our light, our life, our words shine to others so they can see the presence of Christ and hear his teachings and see his life through us. We have to pass it on, simply put. We have to pass it on. So when we want to really connect the unconnected to Christ and grow together with them and him, we're devoted to God, devoted to others. We're living out our devotion, and we want to pass that on to other people. So I think we've come to a place in time where we have to ask ourselves, if you understand what the church is, the people of God, loving God and loving each other, and you understand the mission of the church, to connect the unconnected to Christ and to grow together with him, we have a question at hand. The question is, how are you a part of the church? How are you a part of the church? Let me help us answer that by going back to Paul's metaphor of the body and its many parts equaling one body in 1 Corinthians 12. Paul tells us that all parts of the body are equally important and need to function as one for Christ to be head of the body and for the body to function as it's intended. We can look at verse 18 to see Paul begin to dissect that. It says, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So God has uniquely placed each part of the body in line as it is meant to be in the timing in which it was meant to be. That should be exciting for us. It should be a challenge, and it should be exciting at the same time, because God has specifically designed a specific point and place in time for you to be a part of the body of Christ, and has a specific purpose in mind for that as well. God has done that so we as the church can live out our purpose and our mission in very specific and efficient ways. Once we have given our life to Christ, like we saw Grace and Eliza this morning and professed that publicly, we've bonded ourselves with other believers, other Christians, for eternity. And we now are bonded here on earth and in heaven with other believers and with God. And now we see our united purpose as one. And that keeps our focus on Christ. Furthermore, once we've given our life to Christ, then and only then does our life take on the God-given meaning that it is provided when we are born. Let me say that again. Once we've given our life to Christ, then and only then do we have the God-given meaning that our life was intended to have. Only then is it exposed to us. Only then can it be experienced. So we first have to take that step of faith to believe and trust in Christ, profess him as your Lord and Savior, and then your God-given purpose and focus really begins to develop and become more apparent. Look at verses 21 through 26. I won't read that again. There's a lot of detail in there. What Paul is getting at is he's trying to intricately show the way the church is connected in a way that only God can provide, a way only God can fully understand with his infinite wisdom. That's why we're called the body of Christ. He wants us to have that image, to see the way the body is intricately made, and to see the way the church is supposed to mimic that and live like that. Now I'm going to make a statement that may be a little hard to hear. It may sting a little bit. It's hard for me to hear at times. But if you allow me to explain it, I think the statement would be hard to argue against. I think it really serves a purpose for me to make this statement. It's really going to push our discussion this morning about how we're called to function together to make sure our focus is on God. And the statement is this. If the church, us meeting together with other believers, if the church, us meeting together with other believers, is not important, then God is not important. Now, let me put a more personal note into that. If the church, meeting together with other believers, living as one, as the body of Christ, is not important to you or me, then God is not important to you or me. I believe that's a fair assessment, and I believe it puts me and us in focus of just how important it is to be devoted to God and devoted to each other. Think about it. If we understand through Jesus' teachings and the way he gave his life for us, that we're called to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, and love our neighbor as ourself, then we are intricately connected and have to be devoted to one another. We understand the mission he gave the church. We understand the mission that Jesus gave his followers when he left this earth to spread the gospel. So therefore, we have to understand the extreme importance behind the church, who we are right here and now. If we are to fulfill Jesus' commands when he left the earth, we have to be united in that front together as his church. We have to see the utmost importance in who we are as the body of Christ together. Paul shows just how extremely important the church is in this passage. And he shows us that if we claim to follow Christ and love God with all of our heart, mind, strength, and soul, and love our neighbors as ourselves, we have to do it together. We have to do it together. So I want us to wrap up with this thought. I want us to come to a conclusion to give us food for thought for the day and the week ahead so we can really understand the purpose and mission behind the church as we've discussed it. And when we start to really understand that loving God and loving each other has an eternal purpose behind it, we can't stay separated from one another. We realize we are eternally connected and bonded together as believers, as one of Christ. So we want to be devoted to each other and devoted to God together. So when you participate in the church and you know what your role is in the church and you know how to use your gifts, talents, and abilities, that encourages you. That revives you, as we heard the choir sing. God's Spirit is alive within you, drawing you to one another and drawing you to the unconnected we talked about so you can invite them to be a part of the church as well, believing and professing Christ together. When you do that, you really begin to live out eternal focus. And what I mean by that is you really start to live with eternity on your mind. We have a lot of things before us. I'm sure many of us may have already had our mind drift to lunch or this afternoon or tomorrow's work schedule or meeting or a family member, anything and everything. We know there's a lot in front of us. But Paul wants us to never forget, with all the immediate things that are on our plate, the eternal focus we also need to have as the body of Christ together. Because if we lose focus on that, we isolate ourselves in such a way that God's work cannot be done the most efficient way he has designed, and that is through his church. So Paul goes into great detail to make sure we're aware of our mission together, never leaving each other's side. And so this morning, I encourage you, if you have not given your life to Christ, or if you have not wholeheartedly sought after what he created you to be inside the church, come down this morning after or during the hymn of invitation and decision. It's something to think and to pray about and to seek after. Remember that God has called us to live as one, in unison under the purpose he has given us through Christ, which is to love God and to love other people. When we do that together, we see a miraculous thing take place. It is so evident through the life of our church here at Flat Springs and the way we live together. It is wonderful to see how we are called together as the body of Christ and how so many diverse pieces come together as one week in and week out. And I know it's encouraging to your families, to the community, and to the world around us to see how we are devoted to God and to see how we remain devoted to each other. So I wanted to encourage us this morning to continue to do that, to continue to be devoted to God and to continue to purposefully seek after being devoted to each other as well. Because then our God-given purpose will be strengthened in a way we can only imagine. So keep praying for us to grow together in Christ this morning, this week, and this year ahead. So our love for him and our love for others will invite others to love God and participate in the church the way it's designed. I encourage you to come down this morning during our hymn of decision, to spend time in prayer, to spend time talking to me. If there's a time where you have not given your life to Christ, now would be the perfect time. If there is a time you need prayer or discussion about how to be more involved in the church with the God-given purpose you have, now is the time. So I want us to close in a prayer, and then we'll ask Leonard to come up to lead us in our final hymn to close our worship service together this morning. Let's pray. God, we come before you this morning excited that you have brought us together, connected as the body of Christ. Lord, it may seem overwhelming what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 12. The devotion we're supposed to have to you, linking us together with one another, seems challenging, seems impossible at times. But when we come to you wholeheartedly, we see it lived out in a wonderful and miraculous way. Continue to show that within our church and our people here, how to live and be the church outside these walls, so other people can be invited to love you and love others the way you've created us to be. We pray this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.
Page 241, Breathe on Me, Breath of God.
Be seated. I know this morning we tackled a very meaty passage of Scripture, fast and furious for us to think about in the week ahead. Continue to pray for Gary and his family and their recovery in the upcoming day and week. At this time, I would like to ask Grace, Liza, to come forward, and also their deacon representatives as well. How exciting it is to be baptized this morning, publicly showing your belief in making Jesus your Lord and Savior. How exciting. We're going to continue to pray for you as your church. Now you're involved as the church. That's wonderful to see this morning together. Amen. All right, now you can rise as we have our closing prayer to finish our worship service this morning. Let us pray. God, as we go before you this week, may you show us how to be mindful of the love you have for us and the way you want to shine through us in everything we do. Guide us and protect us in everything that's in front of us, making it clear how to live into your will. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Lord,